You're listening to New Age Hipster Radio, home of spiritual rambles and high-vibe convos. Always dogma-free and a totally cool place to be. You can head to newagehipster.co for more spiritual awesome sauce, but for now, here's your host, Bix.
Hey, gorgeous souls, and welcome to another episode of New Age Hipster Radio. I am your host, Victoria Maxwell. I am an author, a soul reader, a podcaster, obviously, a blogger, a Kundalini yoga teacher, and a whole bunch of other things, which you can find out all about if you head to my website, newagehipster.co. So today I would like to talk to you about a dream that I had that just felt so pertinent with all of the stuff that has been coming up over the last couple of weeks. If you have been living under a rock, power to you, first of all. If you have been living in a part of the world where people have not been talking about Russell Brand, then, you know, stay where you are, don't worry about it. For those of you who are familiar with Russell Brand, perhaps even a fan of his, there has been some very serious allegations that have come out over the last few weeks. You can find out more about that over on my Instagram. I wrote a post which is my second most liked post ever after the Barbie tarot spread. We have the Barbie tarot spread, the Russell Brand post, and the third most liked post was when I got married. So Barbie and Russell Brand, and then when I got married. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff over there about some of my thoughts and opinions on the stuff that was coming up. And you know, you're welcome to go on a deep dive, of course, and have a look for yourself, decide what you think about everything. Anyway, the thing that I found the most challenging, obviously the allegations are very serious, and I am somebody who will always listen to people when they say that they have been harmed. I feel like that is an essential thing that you need to be able to do when you're A, on the spiritual journey, but B, especially when you're somebody like myself who is holding space for others in community, in workshops, in one-on-one sessions. You really have to be able to hold space for people and listen to them when they come to you with their stories, right? Like that's the job, like that's what we do. So I was really kind of shocked to see that some people I knew, some people who have put themselves forwards as spiritual teachers, some people who have been, who are really big in the community as well, just jumped on to support Russell Brand without really listening to anybody else, which I found really a little bit difficult to navigate. And of course, it brought up a whole bunch of other stuff for me around the Kundalini yoga stuff, Yogi Bhajan, which is a whole thing that, you know, I want to kind of keep these solo podcasts relatively short. So I don't want to take you right down the rabbit hole, but long story short, for those of you who are not familiar with Yogi Bhajan and Kundalini yoga, essentially he was the teacher who came to the West with the version of Kundalini yoga that I practice and that many other people in the West practice due to his influence. He came over in 1969 and began to teach. He actually started out just teaching Hatha yoga, and then when he saw what people were dealing with, what people were experiencing, he was like, okay, we need to do some Kundalini yoga. So he started to teach that form of yoga. And his form of Kundalini yoga came through the Sikh tradition, whereas there's other forms of Kundalini yoga which come through the Hindu tradition. So, you know, that was great. He came and he shared all of these teachings. And then a few years ago, there was a whole bunch of allegations that came out about him as a spiritual teacher and some of the things that he was getting up to, allegedly. None of that has been able to be confirmed as, yes, it really did happen, but the evidence, the outcome of the inquiry was basically that it was very likely that this did happen. So of course, when that happened, people in the Kundalini yoga community, including myself, were kind of like, well, what do we do now? And I feel like there's a lot of people right now who perhaps have been on the Russell Brand train, who've been really into his teachings, who are kind of like, well, what do I do now? And of course, I know there's many of you, I know there's many, many of you who follow my work who were never a fan of his, and you know, that's all good too. I actually have a story of when I met him. I don't really know if I want to share that, because I feel like it's a, I don't know if it's appropriate to share, because it's like, will it help? I don't know. So basically, a whole bunch of stuff was coming up for me this week, and I think it's come up for a lot of us, because we're living in this time where we're constantly told now by our spiritual teachers, podcasters, people like me, who are just kind of telling you, hey, the guru, the whole like guru thing is over, like be your own guru. Your spiritual teachers should be the people that inspire you and they support you and they give you tools and practices and they give you their wisdom and you take that wisdom and then you decide for yourself what you want to do with it. Like that's ultimately where we are now, or where we want to be. But all of this stuff has kind of really shown us that as much as many of us are trying to be there, most people aren't. Like most of us are still looking for a guru, whether that is consciously or unconsciously. And you know, we're all just really on our own path with this, right? Like I know in my experience, I have given away my power to lots of different people since I started out on my spiritual journey. I've given my power away to spiritual teachers, especially those who are authors, who have like a really big presence in the community. I have done that, and then I've gotten to know them and realized that, okay, the teachings are great, but I'm not sure that I really like this person, and that's like a whole thing. I've also in the past given my power away to readers, and this is something that I'm so passionate about speaking about, because as much as your reader, the person that you're going to pass on guidance for you, no reader is perfect, and all readers come from their own perspective. So when I channel stuff from source, it's coming through my own being, like it's coming through me. And some channels will say that they can bypass the self, but if you really look at how people are channeling, you always find that, you know, they use certain language, that it's like, well, that's their words. When I'm doing a reading and I'm channeling for people, you know, sometimes the way that the guides and angels will show me things is through pop culture reference or a Taylor Swift lyric, or you know, it will come through in that way because that's my language, right? So we're just the translators. So you know, we're not perfect, and it's really important that when you go to a reader that you go with the intention of, yes, I'm going to receive wisdom and guidance in this space, but this person is not God. This person is not infallible. You know, it's okay if I resonate a lot with some of it and some of it doesn't really feel right. It's okay to take what resonates and to leave the rest. And I always say that at the beginning of a reading when I'm working with people. It's like, this is, you know, I pass on what I get. But ultimately, it's coming through me to you, which is why as much as I love doing readings, I'm probably even more passionate these days about teaching you how to do that for yourself. And then the readings become this kind of like confirmation. And that's one of my favorite type of readings to do, actually, is when people come to me and they're like, well, you know, I've got this situation, I'm not really sure what to do. And then I pass on information for them, and then they say that it really confirmed already what they'd been thinking. And you know, that's ultimately what we want our job to be as readers. We don't want to just be telling you what to do with your life. We want you to be in this place where you already have some idea what you want to do. Maybe you're getting the guidance, but you're not quite trusting it. And then we can just kind of fill in the blanks a little bit for you rather than like we're giving you all of the answers. So, you know, this whole thing from the last couple of weeks, it's made me think so much about all of the places where I have put people on pedestals and then watched them fall, because that's so often what happens when we put someone on a pedestal. And of course, I've been thinking about Kundalini yoga a lot, and how I teach Kundalini yoga, and how much this whole thing of like, you know, how do you navigate this? And I think for some people with Russell Brand right now, it's like, well, you know, you love the teachings. How do you separate the teacher from the teachings? Here's how, and it came through in my dream. 10 minutes in, I'm finally going to tell you about my catch-up dream. Okay, so in my dream, I actually got the download of like what it was all about and what it meant while I was telling my husband about it. And I started off by telling him I had this really weird dream last night. And I said it started in like a vintage secondhand shop, like this kind of massive thrift shop kind of place. And he was like, what's weird about this? Like, this isn't weird for you. If you don't know me, I love thrifting. Like, I love secondhand shops, and I love just like finding little treasures in secondhand shops. This shirt that I'm wearing, if you're watching on YouTube, is a 90s shirt that I got from a secondhand shop. Got it from a charity shop. We call them op shops here in Australia. You might call them thrift shop, charity shop, whatever. So this is my jam. Like, I love vintage stuff, right? And so I'm in the thrift shop, and there are these massive bottles of ketchup. Like, how do our brains make up dreams? Like, it's just kind of unreal. Okay, so there's these massive bottles. I'm like showing you kind of how big they were on YouTube if you're watching other video, but they were like huge, right? Like the kind of ketchup bottles that you'd use for hospitality kind of size of ketchup bottles, right? So there's these ketchup bottles. I think there's like three or four, there might have been more, you know, it's a little bit hazy now, but there was definitely like a good couple of ketchup bottles. And I was looking at these bottles and kind of wondering, like, why are these ketchup bottles in the thrift shop, right? Like, this is a little bit confusing. And they looked really vintage. Like, they looked like old ketchup bottles. And I started to talk to a woman who worked there, and she told me that these ketchup bottles were from the 1970s. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. They're just like really old ketchup bottles. Great. Okay. Cause you see this stuff in, you know, if you're familiar with secondhand shopping and thrifting, you see like old cans and old makeup and like, you know, all this stuff that people are into and they collect and whatever. And so anyway, I'm looking at these ketchup bottles and I noticed that they are still full of ketchup. And that was curious. And then I said to the woman, like, you know, are people eating the ketchup? Like, what's going on here? And she said, yeah, you can eat the ketchup. And I was kind of like, isn't this ketchup a little bit old? And she's like, no, it's totally fine. Like, it's still good. You can eat the ketchup. So in my, you know, dream state, I thought it would be a good idea to try some of this vintage ketchup. And they looked vintage, like from the 70s, right? Not like, you know, they weren't like hundreds and hundreds of years old, but they were from the 70s, around that kind of era, which is all part of, well, it'll make sense in a minute. So I grabbed like a cracker or something, and I put some ketchup on, and I ate the ketchup. And it tasted not very good. Like, it didn't really taste good. It was not at all delicious ketchup. It was just like horrible. Like, it tasted off and old and stale, and I didn't really want to eat it, but I did anyway. Which again is, you know, like interesting, right? And someone told me I should eat the ketchup, so I did. Anyway, then I felt really, really sick, and you know, went and like spewed it all up. And that was my dream about this old ketchup. And as I was telling my husband about it in the morning, I had this realization of what it meant. And I felt like it was this symbol of, you know, there's all these teachings, there's all these amazing teachings that have come to the West, especially like around that time, around the 70s. A lot of yoga teachers, a lot of gurus, a lot of people were coming and sharing. A lot of spiritual teachers were really getting into it around that time. It was really like the birth of the New Age movement, right? So there was a lot of this stuff happening. And that was all going on, like, you know, in the 1970s. So I was kind of thinking about that while I was telling my husband about this dream, about this, the catch up. And I kind of thought about this symbolism of, are we still eating the old ketchup? You know, like, is that what we're doing? Especially in, you know, like Kundalini yoga community, because a lot of people, there's kind of like two sides to the whole Kundalini, you know, the Kundalini community is kind of split a little bit. And there are people who kind of just like deny all the allegations, and they're just like, nope, Yogi Bhajan is the guru and he knew everything, and we still, you know, we're still gonna very much see him as our guru. And then there are people like myself who are kind of like, wow, the teachings are amazing, but I'm not totally sure about this guy as a person, you know. And that doesn't mean that he wasn't like a great teacher. And can you be a great teacher but not a great person? It's really, you know, I'm still very much navigating it. So I think it'd be something I'm navigating probably for my whole life. So yeah, I was thinking about this ketchup and how, you know, are we still eating this old ketchup from the 70s? And then I had this realization of like, we don't need to stop eating ketchup, but we need to make new ketchup. And we can use the old recipe, but we need to make new ketchup. And it just felt like, wow, okay, I'm getting it. And I really wanted to share this with you because, you know, so often people talk about like their downloads and whatever, and it's like, oh, it all came through, this amazing angelic being came to me and delivered this news. But for me, it came through in this dream about eating old ketchup. And so that really made me think about Russell Brand and Kundalini yoga and everything. And it's like, let's look at the ketchup that people are serving, and instead of seeing the people who are serving the ketchup as like the gods and the gurus and the people that know everything, and putting our all of our faith and trust and belief and power in them, let's look at the ketchup recipe. You know, what's in this? What's in this? What are the ingredients? And that's very much why I took my Kundalini yoga teacher training. I didn't really even want to be a teacher at the start. I just really wanted to learn more. I wanted to know what the ingredients were. So now that I know what the ingredients are, I feel like I'm in this place where I can make my own ketchup. And if people want to come and try my ketchup, sounds a little weird, then, you know, come along to a class and see what's going on. So, yeah, I really feel like, you know, there's this shift at the moment where like everybody wants to kind of make their own ketchup. And you see a lot of people making some pretty weird ketchup out there right now. You know, like people are kind of taking, oh, they're like, okay, well, the main ingredient is tomato, so I'm still going to use tomato, but everything else is going to be completely different. Some people are like, I'm not even going to make mine with tomato, I'm going to do something else. Some people are like, ketchup is old news, I'm going to make something else, I'm making barbecue sauce. The metaphor is just going off on a massive tangent right now, but ultimately, I just felt like there was so much in that. There was so much in this idea of, let's not put our power in the person serving the ketchup or the teachings, but let's bring our power back to ourselves and look at the teachings and say, okay, is this teaching helpful? Do I like this teaching? Can I use this? Can I take these ingredients and make it for myself? Can I use these ingredients and make it for my community or the people who I feel called to serve and support in the world? So I hope that was useful. interesting in some way. I feel like it was pretty random, this episode. I feel like it was so random. But another thing I've been thinking about, actually, just to kind of add like another a level and layer into this conversation, is the Doreen Virtue piece. And, you know, I know so many people, when that whole thing exploded, so many people were like, well, I'm just throwing it all away. You know, so many people threw away the ketchup. They were just like, nah, not doing ketchup anymore. And that's fine. That's totally fine. You know, you have the choice to do that. That's completely up to you. You don't have to eat any ketchup if you don't like it. It's all good. But, you know, I kept my decks. I think I got rid of a couple of decks, but that was probably before she even converted, just because some of them weren't really resonating with me, especially some of the newer ones. But I kept all of her old ones. I kept all of her books, even when she was saying to people, you know, go and burn them all because they're, you know, whatever. I kept them because I felt like there was still magic in those decks. It was still good stuff in those books. And just because the teacher has gone off in a different direction or is somebody that, you know, we wouldn't want to hang out with anymore, or maybe never was, I don't know, it doesn't mean that there's not value in the work. And so now, just the other day, I grabbed one of her old decks and did a couple of readings for myself and for someone else, and they were profound. Like, they were really profound. They were really, really good readings. And I was just like, ah, oh, you know, she was good. She was really good at what she did, and the stuff that she created was great, in my humble opinion. Maybe you weren't a fan, that's cool. You know, we all resonate with different things. But there was a reason that she was so successful, because people loved what she was doing, because it was actually really good, you know? Like, there was a lot of good vibes in that. There was a lot of good love in that. And I think from the perspective of somebody who has now created Oracle decks and written spiritual books, when we're in that place, at least for me, I can really only speak for myself, when I'm in that place, I do very much feel like I'm channeling, and like I said, there's always going to be a bit of me in the channel, but I'm channeling the content, and then the book or the deck kind of takes on its own energy. You know, it's kind of like, it's not really a part of me anymore. You know, it's kind of got its own, thing going on. You know, it's out in the world and it's doing whatever it needs to do. Like, it's a you know, it's its own being, essentially, which is kind of a cool way to think about it. So can we separate the teacher from the teachings? This is the question, really. I mean, there's so many questions. This whole week has brought up so much for me, obviously. But this question ultimately is, can we separate the teacher from the teachings, and how do we do that? And I don't think that there is like a real, hey, here's five steps to separating the teachings from the teacher, you know, let's just do this. I think the most important thing is to really kind of just notice how we engage with our teachers and our readers and the people that we connect within this community. Notice how you feel when you connect with them. Do you feel like, oh wow, like, I love this person. This person is amazing. This person is like so great. Or do you connect with their content and think, wow, I really love what this person's saying. I really love this content. This really resonates with me. Like, ultimately, that's what I would want people to be saying and feeling about my work. I don't really want people to think that I'm so great. I just want people to resonate with what I'm saying and be like, okay, that was really useful. If it's useful, then that's great. That's great. This episode has just really been a bit of a ramble. and a share of my dream, but you know, it just felt like there was so much in this idea of, you know, what ketchup are we eating? What Kool-Aid are we drinking? And really think about that and think about making your own and letting your teachers, letting the people that you are inspired by, letting them share with you the recipe and then taking it for yourself and creating something that really works for you out of it. No more putting people on the pedestal, right? Like, we're not here to be gurus. Like, I really feel like in this next kind of season, this next chapter, like, we are all kind of doing this work together. And I really love, I heard something that Ram Dass said recently. Well, he didn't say it recently, I heard it recently, where he said that he felt like no one was the guru, but we all had maps. And we come together and we share our part of the map. And then when we share our part of the map, everybody has a better view of where they are and what's going on. And I just loved that so much because I've always felt like, you know, so many of the people who come to me for readings, who come to my workshops, so many of them, and that maybe you, if you're listening to this, are people who are really, you know, doing this work in their own right. You know, like, I don't see these people as like, oh, I'm the teacher and you're the student and you don't know anything and I know everything. Like, you know, I'm just teaching the stuff that I've learned, and then, you know, there's so much I can learn from everybody else who comes into my space. And I think that's really the future. You know, I think there's going to be, and I think we're already seeing this, there's more and more people who are doing this work, but we're not massive stars. We're not like, you know, we don't all need to have like millions and millions of followers. We just have our community that we can serve and support. And there'll be more people doing the work, but maybe we won't be having the same kind of, you know, be on that same kind of level of like, you're the guru and everybody's looking up to you, right? It's just like, oh, I feel like a reading, I might get in touch with Vix. You know, like, it's totally different vibe, totally different energy. And that's, you know, we're seeing that in other places too. We're seeing it very much with the publishing world. Like, so many people now are creating decks and books, and that means that, you know, there's not just like the one person. Like, it's not just like, oh, Doreen Virtue is the Oracle deck person, right? So that's the person you, if you want an Oracle deck, then you got to get a Doreen Virtual Oracle deck, because that's kind of all there is. Now there's like so much choice, which is amazing. But it also means that, you know, people aren't kind of like the person so much anymore. And I'm kind of excited about that. It feels really good to me. It feels like, you know, there's more opportunities for everybody. And it also means that we're more likely to find the people that we resonate with because there's more people doing the work. Okay, I'm going to stop rambling at you now and let you get on with your day, your night, whatever, wherever it is where you are right now. And yeah, I hope that this has served and supported in some way. You've enjoyed hanging out with me. Speaking of changing up the ketchup, I have a new offering which is called Angelic Yoga. If you're interested in joining me for some Kundalini yoga, where we are going to also be invoking archangels and connecting with their energy, then you might want to check that out over on the website newagehipster.co. And yeah, all the dates will be up there about how you can find out more about that if you're looking for a little bit of a new flavor of ketchup in your own life. I have loved chatting with you as always. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too. I would like to also just add that I am keeping this a safe space as always. If you choose to comment on this podcast or this video with anything that is disrespectful towards victims, then I'm just going to delete it. So just letting you know. Most people probably wouldn't have got this far in the episode if that's what you're going to post, but I did have some interesting comments over on Instagram as this whole thing has kind of been blowing up, and I'm just not interested in spending my time or energy trying to defend my position. I think most people in my community are on the same page as me. If you're not on the same page, you know, you have a choice whether you want to go or whether you want to stay. It's all up to you. I do not believe that we all have to have the same opinion on everything, but I do feel like when it comes to people coming forward and telling us that harm has been caused to them, that we do have an obligation to listen to that, and then, you know, we can go from there wherever we end up going. Okay, gorgeous souls, that's it from me, newagehipster.co. If you want to do some angelic yoga, and I will see you in the next episode. Lots and lots of love.
You've been listening to New Age Hipster Radio. For more good vibes and spiritual goodness, head to newagehipster.co. Thanks for listening and peace out.